Welcome to Orchard Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the Orchard community.
Hi, friends. Welcome to our digital liturgy for the week of October 8th, 2023. Today, it's a special day. We actually are beginning a brand new series that we're calling From Me to We. From Me to We. Acknowledging that you and I and every other human being on this planet are interconnected. And in fact, we are interdependent. We are an interdependent species. We're not meant to do life alone. It's part of why we do this. So we're going to be exploring different aspects of that together. Now, Scott is going to bring a little teaching about interdependence.
About 5 or 6 years ago, there was a story in the news about two young boys, ages 8 and 11 years old, who were swimming out in the ocean at Panama City Beach, Florida, and found themselves dangerously trapped in a fierce rip current. Fortunately, their desperate screams and their frantic waving of arms caught the attention of their mother, who, along with other family members, rushed into the water determined to bring those two boys back to shore. Unfortunately, the strength of the current was much stronger than anyone realized, and it ended up actually overpowering all 9 of the individuals, causing them to all become trapped in the ocean's grip. Meanwhile, on the shore, onlookers anxiously watched as even authorities unsuccessfully attempted to rescue the 9, until finally a bystander, who was witnessing all of this, became a catalyst for an awe-inspiring act of unity as she began to rally people together to help. And literally within minutes, 70 or 80 people, random strangers, mind you, linked hands, forming a lifeline that stretched, I think it was like 100 yards into the Gulf of Mexico, you know, using everything from boogie boards to surfboards as aids. Those 70 or 80 strangers painstakingly reeled in each of those 9 individuals, starting with the young boys. And of course, as you might imagine, once those 9 were rescued, there was a pretty intense eruption of cheers and applause and hugs and high fives, not just for the lives saved, but for the beautiful and powerful demonstration proving that where individual efforts waned, collective action arose. Well, listen, today we're beginning a new series entitled From Me to We. And as you might have guessed, this is a series about exactly that, about moving from living as, moving from living as isolated islands to a cohesive, thriving archipelago, you know, rising above mere self-centeredness and toward mutual trust and collective well-being. Now, I know that on the surface, this might sound a bit idealistic or maybe even a little hippy-dippy or something like that. But the fact is, you know, listen, in an era where 61% of Americans report feeling lonely and where we have hundreds and perhaps even thousands of quote-unquote friends on social media and yet feel more isolated than ever, this is quite a paradox, isn't it? I mean, think about it. We are the most technologically connected generation in history, but simultaneously the most socially disconnected from our neighbors, our communities, and even our own families. And the sad thing is, friends, that chasm seems to be getting wider and wider. You know, the implications of our collective isolation, they're not just emotional, they're tangible. They're far-reaching. You know, reflected in rising rates of mental health challenges to breakdowns in community cohesion, and even in a diminishing sense of empathy towards fellow human beings. Well, thankfully, there's good news. And that's that, you know, both history and human nature will tell us that we are capable of extraordinary feats when we come together. I mean, from creating human chains to rescue stranded swimmers to entire communities rallying around a singular cause to having support when facing challenging circumstances or seasons in life. I mean, so there's a word that's actually become one of our values at the Orchard that I think really captures the essence of this movement from me to we, and that is the word interdependence. Several years ago, Stephen Covey, the author, wrote a great book entitled 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in this book, he talks a great deal about this idea of interdependence. And he does so in the context of what he refers to as the maturity continuum. The maturity continuum has to do with the process by which a person grows and matures, ultimately allowing them to become a better, healthier, more successful human being. And anyway, Covey writes specifically about how this process of maturity is essentially a three-part movement. The movement is this. It's a movement from dependence to independence to interdependence. Now, of course, real quick, dependence, that's where it begins for all of us. Dependence says you need others to get what you want, right? It's where we all start dependent on others for sustenance and nurturing and care. You know, a dependent person needs others to get what they want. That's dependence. The next movement is a movement from dependence to independence. So the independent person is one who can think and act for themselves, that is interdirected, that's validated from within, self-reliant, can make it on their own. You know, so with independence, you get what you want through your own effort. And of course, independence is what allows us to act instead of being acted upon. It's what frees us from dependence on circumstances or other people. And oftentimes it's like the ultimate goal of individuals and institutions and nations to be independent. You know, I think to many it's sort of seen as the highest level of achievement, which makes sense, because let's face it, being independent is like, heck, I mean, it's the foundation of our nation's psyche, right? I mean, we are products of a contemporary culture that celebrates the individual and often distrusts the communal, right? I mean, we believe in pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps and encouraging others to do the same, which on a lot of levels is really good. It is. And however, being fiercely independent also has a hidden side to it. You know, I imagine, and some of you can, imagine always shouldering your burdens, your challenges, and your struggles completely alone, never reaching out when times get tough. And that sounds exhausting, doesn't it? And quite lonely, right? See, that's because too much self-reliance can actually make us feel super isolated, right? And that loneliness can end up taking a serious toll on us mentally, emotionally, and even physically. And then imagine that happening on a collective level. And what do you have? Well, you have an epidemic of isolation and loneliness. It's exactly what we're facing right now in our country, which is why I think it's better to look at independence not as a destination or as a landing point, but rather as a step towards the most expansive and harmonious mature paradigm of them all, which is interdependence. Interdependence. So this is where we move beyond just the you of dependence and the I of independence and into the we of interdependence. That's right, the we. We can combine our talents and our abilities. We can synergize. We are better together. We can achieve something greater together. So do you see the movement, the process? Dependence should lead to independence. Now, if it doesn't, well, that's where you end up with, you know, all kinds of overly dependent people and relationships and codependency and all that kind of stuff. And then independence should lead to interdependence. Now, I think there's a tendency some of us have to push back on this a little bit and to say, well, wait a minute, don't we have to take responsibility for our own life, Scott? And of course, the answer is yes, absolutely. But here's the thing. Interdependence is not about abdicating responsibility for our lives. No. Listen, an interdependent person takes responsibility for their own lives, their own sphere of influence, their own decisions, and they live based on the principles of what they believe is right and wrong, not based on what other people will think of them. But they also recognize and acknowledge that they are not the center of the universe. and that their lives are a part of a dynamic fabric of interconnectedness, and that the world we live in is an interdependent world, and that the whole is worth more than the sum of its parts. And so we work together, working off each other's strengths to accomplish more than what any of us could do on our own. And so anyway, that's why our value of interdependence is one that says we are better together. We're better together. Can we say that all at the same time? Are you ready? We are better together. One of the most beautiful pictures we have of interdependence is right in front of us in nature. Aspen trees. I know we don't really have those here in Illinois, or maybe you have them where you're at. But if you know anything about these beautiful trees, they're quite fascinating. Because when these 80-foot trees grow in what they call clonal colonies, they're connected by this underground root system. And scientists tell us that one of the largest and oldest colony of trees is in Utah. It's called the Trembling Giant. Maybe some of you've been there. Now, on the surface, they look like a large group of individual trees. However, underground, get this, they all share one single root system. Think about that. 47,000 trees spanning over 100 acres, all sharing a single root system. Man, all interdependent, all mutual reliant on each other. Friends, that is the truth of our lives. That's right, all of our lives, including the most independent, self-sufficient individual on planet Earth. People who believe they are entirely independent are really dependent in more ways than anyone would care to admit. Take, for example, the guy who walks into a grocery store to grab some groceries. Let's just call him, Bob. That just seems like a good name to use. But so Bob feels proud he can provide for himself without any help or assistance. But hold on a second. How about that corn he bought? Where did that corn come from? Well, as it turns out, the corn was stocked by a supermarket employee who took it off of a truck, driven by a person who works for a warehouse where laborers sorted and sorted it out and boxed it after receiving it from another truck driver who delivered it from the farm where it was planted by a farmer who the farmer, of course, relied on the sun and the rain and the ground in order to grow the corn. And all those people rely on Bob to buy the corn, which in turn supports what they do for a living. See, here's the thing, man. It can be hard to see how interconnected we are when we're so separated on all the other parts, right? I mean, if Bob can't see who he relies on, well, then he's not going to be thinking about their well-being and how theirs depends on his. See, listen, and if the laborers or the farmers aren't being paid enough, well, it doesn't matter to Bob. I mean, when the soil is depleted and contaminated by chemicals, which then end up contaminating all kinds of other things, including our bodies, well, it doesn't matter. It's not on his mind. But what if he could see that all of these relationships and his existence as being fundamentally relational, right? That he's just one link out of many, and that at the end of the day, none of us can exist separately. Listen, this is not a new idea at all. In fact, the scriptures echo these same ideas in a number of places. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes these words: "Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life." And in another place, he writes this. Listen, this is so good. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. "For in the same way that one body has so many different parts, each with different functions, we too, the many, are different parts that form one body in the anointed one." Listen, each one of us is joined with one another, and we become together what we could not be alone. Man, did you catch that? Each one of us is joined with one another, and we become together what we could not be alone. Friends, this is interdependence. each part taking responsibility for its own function. But it also doesn't try to act as a complete body on its own. You see, listen, this is important. Interdependence does not erase independence. It actually makes it more important. So what does this mean for us as a church, as a spiritual community? Well, what I imagine, and I'd love to hear what you imagine, what I imagine is a church where each individual sees themselves as a part of a whole. A church that values the life and stories of the individual, but also highly values who we are as a community. And that recognizes that how we relate to each other, well, it is just as important as how we relate to God. Or more accurately, how we relate to each other is part of how we relate to God. It's really impossible to disconnect the two, which really, friends, is the essence of Christianity. To be together in concrete community with all the real human faults that are there, as well as the tensions that this will bring, while also trusting that it's our interdependence on one another that makes us stronger, not weaker. Listen, in Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to close with this, we find what I think is one of the most beautiful, inspiring pictures of what God can do with a group of people who understand that our lives are truly a part of a dynamic fabric of interconnectedness, and that every gift, and therefore every person, matters in community. Let me show you Acts chapter 4. We'll start reading at verse 32. This is the very early church, some of the first followers of Jesus. Here's what it says. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. What a beautiful picture. But I also know it's easy to dismiss the Acts community as some kind of lofty ideal or as a utopia, you know, that we can admire from afar but never really achieve. But what if we dared to believe differently, friends? I mean, what if we saw this not as an unreachable ideal, but as a vision, as a blueprint, as an inspiration for our own community? Because imagine just for a moment a church community where the lines between what is mine and what is yours blur into a collective ours. I mean, imagine a community where our resources and our talents and our times are woven together not for individual gain, but for the enrichment of the entire community. You see, listen, the early believers in Acts stand as a testament to what is achievable when we lean onto and into one another. And so, listen, Orchard, as we embark on this journey from me to we, let us not aspire to merely admire their interdependence from a distance that we just read about, but rather to actually figure out ways to infuse it into our own lives and into our own community, that same beautiful spirit. Man, that we would be a presence of unity and sharing and mutual support, offering hope and love, not just to one another, but to the world around us, our communities, our neighborhoods, our cities. Listen, I really hope you'll track with us over these next few weeks because we're gonna talk about some really practical things. We're gonna talk about how we can actually live out this life of interdependence. Because you know what? It's not easy, that's for sure. Right? There are challenges, there are tensions, but we're going to talk about things like the art of vulnerability. How do we open up and become more vulnerable? We're going to talk about how to listen well, how to practice empathic listening, listening with the intent to understand. We're going to explore how to be present without trying to fix or change someone. Man, you might want to invite some of the people in your life to that one. we're going to talk about healthy boundaries and relationships. We're going to talk about so many really practical, beautiful things. And so I really want to encourage you to be present with us throughout this series, whether you're catching it on our weekly digital liturgy, our podcast, or as a part of one of our Orchard tables. And here's the thing, we're not just going to ask you to stay connected, but in the next few weeks, I'm going to ask those of you who consider the Orchard community your church home to consider making a financial investment towards the future of creating this kind of community. So anyway, I hope you'll join us. And now let's close in prayer. God of the body of Christ, organs and limbs, feet and hands, the weak and the strong, the broken and the suffering, we recognize our dependence on you. We see how you knit us together as one. We confess our own independence, our own individualism and self-centeredness. We too often say, I don't need you. I don't need others. I can only rely on myself. We see that, well, this has a crippling effect, not only on our society, but and not only on our churches, not only on our families and friends, but on our very souls. So help us to open to our needs. Help us to nurture into our lives the very things that are necessary to see our own interdependence. May you also strengthen this community and draw us together as one. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, we're so glad you joined us for today's digital liturgy. I want to give you a couple of reflection questions, or we can call them conversation starters, to chew on and to spend some time with in these next few days, maybe even immediately following this time together. But here's the first one. You know, we talked about that human chain at Panama City Beach. What a cool story, right? So my question is this: when was the last time you actively reached out to be a part of a collective solution? Even if it meant stepping out of your comfort zone. When was the last time you actively reached out to be a part of a collective solution, even if it meant stepping out of your comfort zone? And the second part of that question is, how can you more intentionally foster such collective actions in your day-to-day life? Here's another one. Thinking about the pitfalls of being overly independent, can you recall a time when prioritizing self-reliance led to feelings of isolation or disconnect? How might opening yourself to interdependent relationship have changed the outcome? So again, thinking about the pitfalls of being overly independent, can you recall a time when prioritizing self-reliance led to feelings of isolation or disconnection? How might opening yourself to interdependent relationships have changed the outcome? And then lastly, what fears or reservations do you have about leaning on others or allowing them to lean onto you? How might embracing interdependence enrich both your personal growth and the quality of your relationships? Man, that's a good one. I hope you'll spend time. Out of all these, that's maybe most important. What fears or reservations do you have about leaning on others or allowing them to lean on you? How might embracing interdependence enrich both your personal growth and the quality of your relationships? Friends, I hope you'll take some time to maybe journal some of these out a little bit, have some conversation if you're at a table gathering. These are great conversation starters, or even just gathered with a few friends. I want to encourage you to take these, chew on them, let them challenge you as they need to, also let them comfort you as they should. Again, thank you so much, and I pray God's blessing on you as you dive into these conversations.
Thank you, friends, for joining us today. We hope that you've received something meaningful that will continue to do its work in you this week. Now, before we go, I wanted to take a moment and remind you that the Orchard community is a fully independent nonprofit that depends on people like you and me to continue doing the work that we're doing, helping people become who they're created to be. Right now, culturally, I think you know this, that we are living in a really divided society. And we really see the need for communities like the Orchard to grow and to thrive, communities that teach us third ways of seeing beyond the sort of dualistic this versus that lens of things. allowing a space for people to learn how to live out values like peacemaking and wholeness. And so if you've been listening and watching and participating in this work, we would invite you to possibly contribute to financially if you feel led. And there are three ways that you could do that. If you're watching live, you can click the little give button in the chat, or you can go to theorchardcommunity.com/give. You can also download our app on the App Store on either major App Store platform and get access to all sorts of resources. And you can set up recurring giving that way. Or third, you can always mail a check to us. The Orchard Community at P.O. Box 7688 Aurora, Illinois 60507. Thank you again, friends, for being with us. We will continue this conversation next week. We hope you join us. Now, would you receive this blessing as you head out into the world? In the woven tapestry of life, may you find the golden threads of connection that bind you to the earth and the sky, to the whispering trees and the restless seas. In the quietness of your soul, may you hear the soft murmurs of community echoing in the chambers of your heart, guiding you to give, to receive in sacred balance. As the river leans on the shore and the moon relies on the pull of the earth, may you lean into the embrace of others, finding strength in vulnerability, wisdom in unity. In the dance of day and night, may you see the beauty of interdependence, where each moment, each being is a gift and a receiver, a song and a listener. In this intricate web, may you find peace, knowing that you are but a single note in the divine symphony of existence. Yet without you, the music would be incomplete. Peace and light. Be well, friends. We'll see you soon.